2. Speaking in tongues and interpretation. Well, you ain't got the 9 spiritual gifts because you ain't got speaking in tongues. He said that's the last of 2 gifts.
Right.
Have you ever thought about wisdom, faith, what did he say, knowledge?
Healing, miracles,
prophecy. There's 6 of them. And then the other ones come in there, but you go over those and say, well, if you don't have speaking in tongues, no, that ain't it. If you don't have the 9 spiritual gifts working. Now, Brother Keith read the quote up there. Brother Brown said, you'd have to give an account as a church.
Right.
If you didn't have the 9 spiritual gifts working in your church.
Mm-hmm. I read one time Brother Brown said that just one, like a misdeed, I think he called it, of one member in the church could cause the whole church to fail.
Yeah, to bitterly fail, he said. That's why we have to keep... And if we come to church with those and we don't get them taken care of, you don't have to go to the altar. Ask God to do it. But if you carry that thing back with you, it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, right.
You keep getting worse. Brother Brown said you leave either better or worse the service. Why? Because that's where judgment starts in the house of God. Preacher says something and you may be sitting over going, who in the world is he talking to? Well, somebody over there may be who he's talking to.
Right.
All right, it ain't your time this time, okay? It ain't your day. It ain't your 15 minutes, okay? Just
right.
Sleep on through it and wait till the next one comes.
That's why he said a child running through the church.
That's correct.
And then people going to the bathroom or going here or getting
right.
up or whatever. He said if that child or you hindered somebody,
yeah,
you're going to be responsible
for that. That's right.
That.
That's why that we try to reverence the house of God as much as we can. There is times when you have to speak, but Brother Brown said, hey, you know, say, hey, brother, I need to meet you outside. That don't mean you stand in the congregation and have a conversation when you can go outside and have it.
Amen.
All right? And you have to still remind people. They'll stop and want to talk to somebody and say, outside. I mean, wait 5 minutes. If you can't wait 5 minutes, you need to turn and go back to the altar. If you can't wait 5 minutes, you know, go back that way. All right? But it keeps order because remember, Brother Brown said the Holy Ghost is a very timid person. You got to always remember that because remember, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Remember, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Brown said that the Holy Ghost will go out on a limb and sit there and wait for you to repent. That don't mean that, now listen, that don't mean that, that's just an illustration. That don't mean that if this is your Holy Ghost, he goes over yonder and sits somewhere. No, he just says, hey, today is a learning day. I'm not going to give you any revelation. You're going to feel the worst you've ever felt in your life. But when you take care of what you've just done, I'll come back and talk to you. So, I mean, basically that's what it is. Because you know what? The Holy Ghost is a person. So he talks to you.
Right.
It's not a ghost that just floats through here. No, he's a person.
Right.
He can't dwell where our sin is.
Right.
Sin.
Right. Well, that's why that he's not in our spirit realm, because the sins we have as Christians are in the spirit realm. It's not in the soul. You can't sin, Brother Brown said. You can't sin enough to be lost if you're born again. So that inside man is so, I mean, he's solid. Well, you know why he's solid? Because he's God. Not a lesser person, he's God.
Can I say something?
Sure.
When it comes down to it, and I always open my mouth and end in trouble a lot of times, but when it comes right down to it, at the end of the service, when Brother Sam was finished, but yet, the singing is going on and he's still saying things, that's the one time that half the people pop up and they've got to run to the bathroom.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, to me, that part of the service right there is when God could be calling
right.
on somebody's heart and walk forward to be able to receive what they
right.
need, but yet all of this commotion is going on, and when it is, that certainly stops
sure. it's distracting.
The Spirit of the Lord moving.
Very much, yes.
Yeah.
So, I agree.
So forgive me.
But you know who that is, though? It's got to be the devil does that.
Sure
though,
it
you know.
Is. Sure it is.
It's not God doing that. So. And, you know, here we go. We're human beings. We've listened to an hour and 15-minute sermon. We went through 30 minutes of preliminary. And that's when somebody goes to the bathroom. It's when all, you know, let's stand to our feet.
Yeah, when you stand up, the coffee
yeah.
hits you.
Yeah, the coffee hits you. And, but as a human being, just realize that, you know, if God's in that service, just stand there for a few more minutes.
Right.
Right.
Just see what God's got for us.
Right.
You know, just
yeah.
stand there for a little while longer.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'm about to My fans. Well, just stand there for a minute. If it's of God, you won't have to worry about it.
Right.
I have been in service, and I'll be honest, I've been in service where I drank too much coffee up there in the front, and I need to go bad so back yonder so bad, and I have to walk so far, and that's like you said.
Right.
Hold it. Now, there was a couple times I couldn't, but now you've got, if God's in it, though, it'll go away, and you won't, even when you come downstairs, you'll finally eat your lunch, and then you'll go outside, and you go, man, I need to go to the bathroom. Well, that's 2 hours later.
Right. That has happened.
So, it's happened to me several times.
Yeah.
So, just trust in God. Because you know God can help us more than we want to be helped.
Amen.
You say, well, that's kind of frivolous, God helping you where you don't have to. Well, you know what? There ain't nothing, there's nothing in the scripture that says, now, there's a few things I'm not going to help y'all with. No, he said, I'm a God that heals all your diseases, and that is a disease at the moment. Having to go.
Your affliction.
But, you know what?
That's an affliction.
That's an affliction. That's right.
Yeah.
And he'll help you through your affliction. But really, I've had that happen. And if you'll just hang on a little bit, and if God's working in the service, you'll forget about it. You really will. And you'll enter into the worship service a little bit more. Well, yeah. By a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now our heart, which is, like I said, that very center realm. You cannot sin in that center realm if you are born again. If not, it's the seat of sin. But then what Satan does is he moves out into that outer realm, memory, reason, conscious, effect. Listen, if your memory doesn't bother you,
you've got
a problem. You're just not human. You're on drugs.
You're lying.
Yeah, you're lying. Thank you. I wasn't going to say it, but thank you. Thank you. You're lying to yourself mainly.
Yeah.
Memory, reason, conscious, effects, imagination. Now look, God uses those, but so does Satan. But now remember, it's what Brother Dale's trying to get us to see, that if we go through the journey of a Christian, but through justification, sanctification, baptism, truly justified, you're already glorified in God's eyes, not yours. He knows whether you're going to go on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people get justified. Because remember, you don't get justified by being in a message church. You can be standing out here on a street corner and the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's what Brother Tim's getting back on with his people, trying to get them to believe Christ. You know, look, he's even taken, he had some pictures of Brother Branham that was on the wall behind the pulpit. Took them all down. He said, when I want people to raise their hands, he said, I want them to see Christ. I don't want them to see another man. So, and we have too. We took it all that down, and he's trying to get the people to get back to work. And that's what Brother Branham says. We're not getting them to Christ. We're getting them to an idea. And he was telling them, because of the denomination, well, now here we are, 2020 almost, and are we doing the same thing? Let's just fill up a message church. Let's just make sure you don't wear dress. I mean, don't wear pants. And men, you don't, and you don't, and you don't, and you get them to Christ. We'll take care of all that. And we didn't get finished, so we'll start right here somewhere. How about right there? Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is. And so much more as the day approaches. Okay? I'm just like Brother Dale. If you ain't come to church more than you did when you started, you ain't born again.
That's right.
That's just period. Plain and simple. You just ain't born again. You need a birth. That's where I started.
Right.
And there, I have a little boy. All right, 9:50. Let's go. Here we go. All right, here we go. With the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never. We're gonna just kind of. We didn't get down too far Sunday, but we'll back up just a little bit and finish this chapter. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing. So always remember, the law was a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image. So you can't take in the Old Testament, like we talked before, you cannot take and type everything in the Old Testament simply because David was a murderer in the Old Testament. He was an adulterer first and a murderer. And he tried to cover it up. So you know what? If that was today, he would be not just guilty of murder, he'd be guilty of capital murder. Because he tried to cover it up. Right?
Pretty bad at that.
Yes. It wouldn't be good. And then you take all the other people, you take, Brother Keith Reed and I were talking about Abraham, the father of our faith, who Paul said, strong in faith, never weak. That's not what's written in the Bible.
Gave away his wife twice.
Yeah. Even if you type that, giving his wife away twice, he gave her away as Abram, and then he gave her away as Abraham. Okay, so even in his journey as he progressed, he was still human and he was under the law and there was nothing inside of him. There was a moral compass, but it wasn't God so much taking over and living the life through Abraham. No, it was Abraham living his life. Now, he lived close enough to God, but I'm telling you, you look at Abraham. Abraham didn't just giggle in his heart like Sarah did. When God told Abraham he was going to have the baby, he got on the ground, the Bible says, with his face to the ground and laughed. Now, to me, that would be way worse than Sarah giggling in her heart saying, oh, me have pleasure with my husband one more time. In other words, us being 90-something years old. And Brother Brown said God would have killed her for that if it hadn't been for Abraham. Okay? So, these things we don't understand because they have a shadow. Then you got a God telling a prophet to go marry a prostitute. Then she leaves him, comes back, and you can't type that in the Bible. But God typed it to help Israel. You got to remember, God typed it to help Israel. And then the type we take is we don't see the shadow anymore. We don't take the shadow as gospel. We take the very image of the things. What? When Christ come, we'll talk about a little bit today, Christ is the anointed Messiah. All right, he was not in the Old Testament in a person on the earth. Everybody got that? Because now he is in a person on the earth in people called a bride. There was an Old Testament bride, but he had to put them away. And we've covered that many, many times. But it had a shadow of good things to come. But not the very image of the things. Can never with those sacrifices, which they offered year by year, continually make the comers there and too perfect. Now see, you and I, sure we have sins, but we don't have sin.
Right.
Okay? We have sins. We think things wrong. We look at something maybe we shouldn't look. I mean, things are in front of us all the time. Right. We have to say, God, forgive me. But now the things we don't go back to the bar room, and we don't go back, make your long laundry list, whatever you're smoking, drinking, gambling, cussing, running around, all those things. Well, see, that's behind us. Because the perfection's now inside of us. Because David, I don't believe David with the new birth would have ever, ever committed adultery with Bathsheba. His moral compass kind of got a little skewed when his spirit realm took over to go get Bathsheba, where God would control it more now. I hope we don't have that problem with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? But he did have that problem. And see, that is an example of what God has done now in the New Testament. He's come inside of us, and it's not just a moral compass. It's God living inside of us. It's His compass being lived out through us. Sure. Alright? Because the sacrifices didn't make them perfect, as we were talking about last Sunday. Somebody comes up and says, hey, I stole from my neighbor. I want to offer this lamb. Well, see, that stealing nature was still in that guy. He come back the next year, he said, oh, I'm sorry, I stole something else. You know, he just keep... Why? Because the sacrifice was just an offering to what? To cover or to capo or cover what we're doing. And even now we have that blood still on us for us and for us, the little things we do as human beings. But remember, we've entered into the throne. We've entered boldly before the throne where they couldn't even go near it or they'd be killed. They couldn't even touch it.
But didn't they, after a while doing that, the priest would say no? You know, I mean, they continually come back to the same thing?
Well, it never said it in the Bible, because it even says here, it says, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year. So they offered it for the same thing, year by year.
Okay.
make the cumber thereunto perfect. Now look, folks, there's a lot of people that were thieves in the Old Testament that never did a sacrifice. Just like now, there's people out here that are just rank sinners. Okay? And there was people there. Not everybody in Israel walked up with a lamb.
Right.
Just the ones that was trying to do better.
Right.
They were trying to live a good, what we say, Christian life. They tried. I'm reading. If you want, I tell you what will help you. Read 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. It chronicles or writes down all the kings that were in Israel. The ones that did good and the ones that did bad. The ones that did good, God blessed that whole place. The ones that did bad, God cursed them. Because He told them, He said, as long as you keep me as your God, I'll bless you. If you start going after these other gods, you're going to have trouble. And you would. I mean, you can see many times you look at Josiah was a king. He was 8 years old. An 8-year-old boy was a king. But he did the right things in the eyes of God. And when he turned 14 years old, I was reading it yesterday, when he turned 14 years old, he had, they said it had never, the Passover had never been celebrated like he celebrated it that 1 year. I mean, the whole of Israel, they sacrificed thousands upon thousands of animals, and God blessed Josiah from 8 years old to 50-something years old. He reigned 40-something years in Israel and got killed in a battle. But you have to remember, you look at some of these, Hezekiah, different ones, they'll start out good and then they'll turn to evil. Or you know, just our same journey with us.
Right.
And God will bless those that what? That keep God as their God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But remember, it's not Old Testament, go back to the Ten Commandments or the do's and don'ts. Because you got to get really real with some of this stuff. I mean, the Bible tells you don't wear wool with cotton, all these things. Just, and some of them are, if some of them did wrong, they'd shave their head. Or they would, what they called it, board their, something they would call it. They'd do something to your beard. Yeah. So, I mean, things like that. You say, well, that's not, it's still in the Bible. But remember, we have an updated revelation that we don't have to do that. Well, the updated revelation is we know that God now won't tell a prophet to go marry a prostitute. He won't tell you to go marry a prostitute. He can't do that. Not with the blood of Jesus Christ being in you, not just covering you. All right. So He's not going to tell you to go marry a prostitute. But He told whoever that was. Who was it? Habakkuk or somebody?
Hosea.
Who is it? Hosea.
Hosea.
To go marry a prostitute. Now, see, that's totally against even the Old Testament. But God told him to do it as an example. Right? So, in that example, it's not for us. That was for Israel. That was not for us.
So, if God changes not, how can you explain something like that?
He changes? He don't change.
I know He doesn't change.
But He's just not going to tell anybody else to do it that way.
Because of progressive revelation?
Yeah. Well, see, what you know. He's never going to tell somebody else to do that.
That's what she said, though. Why did He change?
He didn't change. He didn't change. He never told anybody else to do it that way again.
Right.
He just never said, don't do it. We just know not to do it. He didn't say in the Old Testament, don't marry a prostitute. You know what? Who was that? Rosella. Brother Branham? Rosella was a prostitute. Prostitute. She married after she got converted. She married and went out testifying. So, should she have got married? Well, Brother Branham sure told her she was a good Christian lady. But stuff like that.
Didn't Brother Branham say about some lady that was with ill fame that she would make
a good
some tired old preachers?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He didn't say that.
Yeah. Well, you got to listen. You got to, in marriage and divorce, you got to go back, because if you cause your wife to commit adultery, you're as guilty as she is.
Right.
We don't talk about that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, and if your wife goes and commits adultery, you're legally able to put her away and marry again, just like she did. Like she did, because she is dead. You can't take her back. You're not supposed to.
Even a minister?
Oh. No, I ain't talking about ministers. Are way up here. Way different than that.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, no. No, not on this. No, we are we're a little bit different. But God didn't change His mind. We just don't do that no more. When Christ came on earth, He didn't say, now I'm going to do away with the Old Testament. What did the Bible say? He was born under the law to bring us out from under the law, but he didn't destroy the law. He magnified it. In other words, he made it livable where we can live that. And then he'll never ask another person to do it. He wouldn't never ask another person to do that. So therefore, he doesn't change. If he changed, then he'd come back and say, well, you're not supposed to do it. But listen, Christ is living in us. We're hearing from God inside of us.
Right.
Okay? I got a little bit on that later on, but not now. We'll do it upstairs. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. If it made them perfect one time, they didn't need to offer them no more. Right? Because that the worshiper once purged, or what? Done away with, should have had no more conscience of sin. Now see, now let's cover this just for a second, because I want to cover this. Conscious, memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. That's your five realms in the middle man. That's the whole problem. Now, your conscious tells you of all the sin that you did. And did.
Right.
And done.
Right.
Okay? But, if you're once purged, you should have no more conscious of those sins. Now, what do you mean conscious? Sure, we're conscious that we did things wrong, but we've got to come to a place that Brother Branham said, the real you didn't do that. The real you did not do those things that you did back then. Because Christ didn't do them. And Christ is in you now, so he didn't do them. Therefore, westward, we got to come to the place that we see this thing doesn't sin. We stand in our conscience, not in our body. Our body just revealed what our conscience was thinking. Okay? And they didn't have a moral compass. I mean, they had a moral compass, but not a God that was close enough to say, don't do that. Now, because remember, he told them not to do those things. Mm-hmm. He said, don't do them. But they went and did them anyway. And you know what? There's a lot of them going to be in heaven. Not his bride, but they're going to be in heaven as Old Testament saints. Because remember, they must have went to paradise. So that's where all the Old Testament saints went that were what we say Christians in the Old Testament. Because when Jesus died, he went to paradise, Brother Brown said, and picked up the saints that were in paradise. So there must have been a bunch. So there wasn't just a few. There's a lot of people that's going to be... Remember, no, that's imparted eternal life. That's not eternal life while they were here. Everybody got that?
Right.
There was no way God could enter in a soul under the sacrifice and offerings. Couldn't do that.
Right.
But remember, we're going to finish this maybe today. For them, when they would have ceased to be offered because the worshiper once purged them, no more consent. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance. Every year, at the time of the Day of Atonement, all Israel knew that. Because they were depending on that one priest to go in there and cover the sins of Israel for that year. But they had to go back the next year. Then they had to go back the next year. Right? Remembrance of sin every year. For it is not possible. Here's your Paul has given us right here. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So they just continually had their sin. Okay? In the Old Testament. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. In other words, you see, we can just put that right there, see what that says. Did not desire. Because remember, God really, I was thinking about this the other day. God knew the end from the beginning. He knew how all this, he knew what we were going to talk about today. He knew who was going to fall away. He knew who was going to come in. He knew all this from the very beginning. But I think still, when you do something right, I think he's like, that's my boy. That's my girl. Even though he knew you were going to do it before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
You come to the place you do it here and you go, and then sometimes though, because remember what Brother Brown said. Brother Brown said the Holy Spirit will go back to God. It's not two people, but it's that mediator, that position. The Holy Ghost goes back and says, boy, your son's acting good or your son's acting bad. So we still have these things. I thought, well, you know, what brought the thought it was is that if I knew every move I made from now till the body change, it'd probably scare me to death, number one. Scare you to death, too. But if we knew we were going to the body change and we saw ourselves at the body change, we'd be so lackadaisical, we'd just be human. But see, God's let us live our day-to-day life not really knowing a lot what's going on ahead of time, but giving us warning and showing us things in the Bible. And then to me, that's the journey. Me and Brother Keith were talking about that. You got to have a journey.
Yes.
Because the Bible says those who is justified, he's already glorified.
Yeah.
If you're justified today, truly justified, and went to the new birth, then you're already glorified.
Right.
But you still got to live that life. That's the journey of justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost. Therefore, when he comes to the world, said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. In other words, he didn't want that to happen. He knew it was going to happen, but he didn't want that to happen. He wanted us to all come, just like Adam. But you know what? That would have took away a lot of things, a lot of attributes of God. Listen, folks, this is the way God saw it, or ain't God. No surprises. This is the whole plan. Brother Brown said he had a plan and a purpose in Christ, he mentioned God revealed. God had a plan and a purpose, and he was going to see it achieved. Me and you don't ever always see our plans all the way to the end. We're happy when we do, but most of our plans from the beginning to the end is written in pencil.
Yeah.
You know, but his is written in blood, and it don't change. Amen? So we just depend on him. But a body has now prepared me. That's what he's always wanted. God has always wanted children in human flesh to live with him. You know why? Because that's how he started his first family. His first family was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And that's what we're going back to. But he had to come as a body. He had to come as a body, a human body, to be the sacrifice. All right? Because remember, and I'll get to this, not next Sunday, but the next Sunday. I want to back up to that. I want to bring you something out of Isaiah 53. Where the Bible says he gave his soul an offering for sin. Offering. He ransomed himself. He gave his soul a ransom. Didn't say anything about the body. He gave his soul a ransom. Because see, his body's not what came back into you at the new birth. It was his soul. But he did have a body. A body hast thou prepared me. Now you can take that as dual meaning. Because who is his body today? We are. A body, since Acts 2.38, a body hast thou prepared me. What? We're preparing this body for God because we're the only body on the earth that he'll ever have.
Right.
Until he comes back with us in the millennium. This is the only body that he's going to have. This is the body of Christ.
Can you punch that word body and see what it says about that?
The body is a sound whole used in a very wide application.
Okay.
Literally or figuratively. See, that body is a figure. A body, both of men and animals. A dead body or corpse. We don't want that. The living body of animals. The body of planets. The body of stars. Where we at? Mystical body. How many times Brother Brown looked that word up? Yeah. Mystical. Brother Brown calls us the mystical body of Christ, so in the New Testament of the church.
Yeah.
So Strong's had enough of a had enough from his revelation to know that that body just didn't mean Jesus' natural body. It's his natural body had to come, but he was building another body on the day of Pentecost. Excuse me, called a bride. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. Watch. Interpolating. Because remember, take that out, and all he would say, lo, this I said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Because that is a scripture back in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul interpolates and tells you where it's coming from. In the volume of the book it is written of me. What book? The Bible, the Torah, whatever you want to say. Brother Brown said that the Jews thought they got God in letter form. I mean, they got a book of Ruth, but they got God in letter form. That's why I said today then, see, but today you got to remember, today is not the written word.
Right.
That written word will kill you as long as it stays there.
Amen.
But if that comes in here,
that's right.
Okay, then it makes a big difference. Alright, because this will condemn you always. But if you become the Word, we become the Word as we receive the Word, we don't become typewritten letters. Right? God's not up there with a big typewriter. No. He just told you what he wanted to live in.
A body.
A body. Five. A body. He wants to live in a human body. The Bible has become flesh.
Right, yes.
And when we see that more and more, we will take a body change, because that's where your body change is. It's in this word right here.
Amen.
In this word right here is where your body change is. All right? Because this is the Word made flesh.
Amen.
That's the alive Word. The Word made flesh.
Yeah, that's not life. Now that inside of you is life, but that's not a live Word. That's
what kills you.
Well, that's, I tell you what it is. That's a man compiling words. But God gave him the thought to put them in there. But God's got to reveal this, because remember, every denominational church this day is probably reading, "A body thou shalt have prepared me, and we're the bride of Jesus Christ." But remember, God's not in those churches anymore. Okay, He's in individuals, but He's not in the church system anymore. Let me put it that way. God's not in a church system. Okay, He is not in a Baptist system. Now, He can be in the people. Brother Dale's preaching that. Me and Brother, we went to Brother Tim Hume's, and we stayed over Wednesday night and had a good time fellowship. But Brother Branham said, "We're not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to what? We've just been getting them for 50 years. We've been getting them to books and tapes." And you look what Brother Dale's preaching. He's going right back and preaching simple salvation. Why? Because if you're not born again, this is just words and do's and don'ts. This is no more than the Ten... let me say something different, not that. This is the Ten Commandments to the bride. Just like it killed Israel, it's going to kill us. I'm talking about the books and the tapes. Okay? We've dealt with hair and dress and all that stuff for 50-something years, and that's not what this message is about.
Yeah.
Right. This message is Christ. And when you get people to Christ, and you get them born again the right way, I'm glad other preachers are seeing it besides us. Real, and Brother Keith Reed, we were talking, he said it is. It's one of the most ill-taught subjects. Still, 60 years after Brother Brown made that quote in 1959, that we're not, the new birth is one of the most ill-taught subjects.
Right.
We've heard sermon after sermon. Don't you believe the message? Yeah, we believe the message. Do you cut your hair? No. Do you wear pants? No. Well, you must be born again. Well, now that's a lie.
Right.
That's a lie. And you know where lies come from?
Right.
God?
No.
The prophet?
Right.
Comes from the devil himself. He is a liar. And if he tells you something contrary to the word, it's a lie. It didn't come from God. Alright? "I've come to do thy will, and the volume of the book is written." And now see, we have to get it out of the Bible. Don't get me wrong. Don't throw the Bible away. Don't throw the books away. We have to get it out of there.
Right.
But if it's just a quote, that's why we've been here this long. Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings of sin, thou wouldest not. Neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." So he had no pleasure in that. He didn't want to see all those animals die because of the sin of man. But you know what? That's the way it came. So that's the way he accepted that sacrifice. All right? But remember, we're coming down to a place where he accepted one sacrifice. He gave himself. He gave his soul a ransom. So he could see a seed, which is you and I, right? Because the body was a sacrifice. The soul is what Satan was looking at. Satan wanted that soul. He wants your soul, right? By which will, I'm sorry. "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first. Now remember, he didn't take it away and, all right, we don't read the Old Testament no more. That's not what he's saying. Because remember, Paul didn't have a New Testament. He was writing it. So he was looking back in the Old Testament and got all this new revelation into here. Because he said, look, he taketh away the first, what? Sacrifice and offering. "That he may establish the second." Which is who? Himself. Christ. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all." All right? Does not have to get up on the cross again and die every time we need something. But now remember too, Brother Branham preached the indictment. He indicted this generation for the second crucifixion of Christ, going back to Matthew 17, where he come off the mountain, he said, "Tell this vision to no one till the Son of Man be risen again." They killed the Son of Man, put him on a cross, and then they killed him again through denominational ideas. He's to be resurrected again in me and you.
Right.
Amen? Alright? The Son of Man, which is what? God in human flesh. And that's what we are now. We're God in human flesh. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from whenceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, how is he doing that? Through a bride. Remember, you have to have a foot to put on the stool for it to be a footstool. And the only foot he's got down here is us. Right? So there's a body sitting with his feet on the footstool. So it's the body of Christ that's here on the earth today. Because remember, his enemies will be made his footstool. And remember, Paul said the last enemy to be destroyed is what?
Death.
All right? So now, you and I have a scripture that says, we which are alive and remain. We're going to read it again this afternoon. That's specific to me and you. That's our scripture. Because we've not passed on. This is our scripture to use. Use it against the devil. We which are alive and remain. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You say, well, I still have problems. Well, you the one that has them, not God. You the one that's got them. Not him. Because he just told you, right here, when we're going to start believing the Bible. By one offering he hath perfected forever them.
Amen.
That are sanctified. Alright, excuse me. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. Now see, he wrote this. This is an Old Testament. Paul quotes the Old Testament. If you got a Scofield Bible, you can run your references. Every time Paul says something like this, it'll reference back. He's actually quoting the Old Testament. Just like Brother Branham comes, Paul here comes as a prophet in the first age, quoting the Old Testament. Most of his sermon is the Old Testament. So they haven't got a New Testament. Then you got Brother Branham come on the earth, and most of the time, even in during his preaching, he's quoting Scripture. About 90% of the time, he's quoting Scripture, not verbatim, but he's weaving it into his sermon, all right? Because you can't get anything outside of the Bible. That's what our problem is. Everybody thinks, like we were talking about the seventh seal, everybody thinks it's this and that and this or the other, and him coming back in a tent, and got to ride a horse, and got to kill a bear, and got to do this, and got to do that. That's the seventh seal. That's what the Bible said. Okay? And then Brother Branham, it says it revealing Christ. So, where's Christ? We'll reiterate that this afternoon. This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart. Remember Ezekiel? I'll give you a new heart. And in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I say, believest thou this? You got to believe that. Now where remission of this is, there's no more offering for sin. Be baptized for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Right? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. See, the common man couldn't approach God in the Old Testament.
Right.
He had to go to the priest, and then the priest went and did the offering. Not now. You can, as Brother Keith was preaching here, and he preached the same thing pretty much at Brother Tim's, that we all have gifts in the body. Nine spiritual gifts doesn't just work in the fivefold ministry. You've got nine spiritual gifts. Okay? Wisdom. You sisters can have wisdom. Prophecy. All these different things. You can have. It's in the body. It's not just in a fivefold ministry. It's in the whole body. Right? Sorry?
Knowledge. Miracles.
Right. You got all nine. It's in the body, not just in fivefold ministry. What everybody's pretty much is laid pretty much on the ministry to do that. No,
I think sometimes what is people actually overlook and don't even realize what's going on here.
Well, it's like me and Keith were talking about. Brother Ram said we major on a minor. Well, the minor are the last.